Welcome to Coach Confidential. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis, and I'll be taking you behind the scenes of my coaching business over the last decade. I'll share what's worked, what hasn't worked, and give you fly-on-the-wall access to my private coaching sessions. We'll talk business, leadership, and get to the heart of coaching. Enjoy the show.
My guest today is just a rock star, and as I'm quickly learning, a kindred spirit, so I'm super excited for you to meet her and to hear her wisdom. Gina Gabellini is a master business coach who supports conscious entrepreneurs to double and even triple their profits by leveraging attraction principles, proven strategies, and fun. We're going to talk a lot about fun today. She is also the co-author of Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction with Eva Gregory, Mark Victor Hansen, and Jack Canfield, names that you all know. Her newest book is Rock Your Profits, Stress-Free Steps to Turn Your Biz into a Badass Money-Making Machine. Combining vision, divine guidance, and easy-to-implement actions, Gina delivers top-tier private coaching and sold-out seminars that have allowed committed entrepreneurs to blow past their self-imposed limits, ditch the drama of overwhelm, and move into radical joy, inner peace, and ever-increasing profits. Her website is Master Peace Coaching, like inner peace. I love that. So Gina, thank you so much for being on this program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that everybody that I'm interviewing, it kind of starts out like this, just to give the viewers a little 2-second blip of the reality of our lives. We get on camera and it's like, oh, wait, well, do I look okay? Or, oh, wait, I have to figure out my space and the video and all this stuff. And I don't want to come across as like we have it all together, because we don't.
No.
Gina right now has a kid who's sick, and you know, there's just stuff going on. So this is us in process, and we want to meet you, the viewer, in process as well, because we know that you're going through some stuff and we want to be of service to that. So Gina, one of the first things that I wanted to ask you, as I was going through your book, you talked about how you've been coaching for a while. And you were coaching people that were millionaires, like making millions of dollars in business. And yet you weren't able to kind of shift that money aspect for yourself. Can you talk a little bit about, one, about your career, but also specifically about that aspect of coaching these people to essentially do what you were wanting to do yourself?
It was highly irritating.
I imagine.
And I thought, huh. You know, because I had, even though I thought I had worked on my money stories, obviously they're still in play, right? Running the show. And I think what I kept doing is I thought, ooh, I'll change strategy. And if I change my business strategy, then I'll make more money. And it looked like I was doing different things from the outside, but I was like, huh, the end result was still the same. So apparently that isn't more.
And who among us has not done that, like tried that, is that, oh, I'll just ship this or do that or change my website. So yes, I hear you.
But I got to tell you, I was just talking to another client about this morning, and it's the whenever, it's actually when you're most broke and frustrated, when the biggest changes can occur, you know? So she was like, I should be farther along than I am right now. I said, you know what? Get pissed off. I would love to see you get pissed off and actually channel that energy into change, because A, when you have a lot of money, you can get really comfortable and you don't feel that urgency to change things up. Or, you know, it's like if you're barely making it, you can squeak by for a lot of years.
Oh yeah.
It's in misery.
So was that how it happened for you? Were you just, you got to the point where it was kind of this rock bottom thing, or what was that turning point for you?
I have to say I've had two huge turning points, and one was when my man told me, I think you need to get a job. And I was ready to, that's it. This relationship is over. You are totally unsupportive. I cannot believe you just said that. And he's like, but I don't think coaches make a lot of money. I haven't seen you make any money. And I'm like, oh, but I used to. And I'm going, that spell. I used to make 6 figures. You want me to show you my tax returns? And he said, yeah. And I was like, but then I thought about it. I mean, I was ready. That's it. This relationship is over. And I thought about it through tears. And I said, you know, all he's seen me since he's known me in the last almost year is a girl who is so struggling in her business. She bust out into spontaneous tears because, I mean, we'd be on his business was doing great, right? He's making over 7 figures. It's like, and I would say, how come I'm not? And I thought, you know what? that's what he's seeing. He's seeing someone in absolute struggle because I'm acting like I don't have any power to change this. So I said, that's it. I'm committed to the money game in terms of what's going on in my head. And I don't care if it takes me 5 years to get out of debt. I am committed to make the change because I was pressuring myself each month. I got to make more money. What am I going to do? And when you're stressed, right? No ideas come through.
It's kind of zero block.
Yeah. And so I ended up being able to turn things around. And 9 months later, I was out of debt completely. It was shocking to me.
That's awesome.
And every year I kept making a little bit more money, but I still felt, I didn't feel that broke as I was before, but I got to tell you, I didn't feel like I was getting ahead. It was still a struggle every month to say, okay, do I have enough for that bill? Are we going to pay the mortgage on time? It was still the hustle.
Yeah.
I was making over six figures, but I was still having to every month think, I need a cash infusion. Help.
Totally. Well, especially when you have a life and children and, you know, things going on. It's like, oh, great. Six figures sounds wonderful, but then there's still all these bills to pay. So I would love to just stop you right there for a second and talk about the specifics a little bit. Because I know a lot of people, I know I've done this myself. It's like, oh, yeah, I was here. And then I got to here and everything's glorious. And I used to be that coach way back looking at mentors and other people and thinking, well, what did you do? What was in that in-between time specifically so that I can start to replicate that and learn from, it's like, oh, and now everything's great. Like you said, oh, I paid off my debt. Awesome. But some people are like, well, what would I possibly do to make that happen in 9 months? So can you talk about a few of the specifics along the way, what you did?
The good thing is it was actually really easy.
Nice.
The mindset was the hardest part. I must say that's where the struggle came in. But the first thing was a surrender. I said, okay, when my mate said, I don't believe you that you ever made six figures, I thought, you know, let me just see where I'm at. Cause at that point I wasn't even tracking my money. I just knew I didn't have enough. And I put everything out on a spreadsheet and I looked at it and the spreadsheet was as bad as I thought. I was hoping maybe if I looked at the reality, it wouldn't be as bad as I had made up, but it was. I said, okay, all right. And at the time, I was calling myself an extreme abundance coach, which was part of the struggle for me because I was being so hard on myself. Like, I know I coach people to greatness, but I'm not sitting in it. And I just had to make peace with it. I was like a little grief session. Like, okay, it just is. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs and the financial future doesn't look pretty bright either. And here I am. So what? So what? Now what? Right?
Yeah.
And so it took me a little bit to get to peace. And I said, well, what can I do? I didn't know any strategies to go make more money. So I said, well, I should probably be more thankful for the clients I do have. Because if any one of them leaves me right now, I am in serious trouble. I had three clients, each paying me, I think at the time, was $1,000 a month. And it was the only way I was surviving. But I wasn't able to stay up on the debt. So I said, I'm going to make a plan for debt. And my plan is, I did my little spreadsheet. I'm going to play the appreciation game. I'm going to appreciate the customers I currently have and stop saying, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's like, it's what I got. And they're amazing. I better pay really good attention to them. And then I appreciated all the money that came in, even if it wasn't enough to pay the bills. I said, well, at least I can pay this one bill. And that was the attitude. And it was really challenging to do that. And so the game was pay as much as you can. I started with the smallest piece of debt and I just played the appreciation game. And I gave myself permission to take as long as I needed. Because before it was the pressure of every single month. It's like, doesn't matter how long it takes. I'm going to be fine. Do I really envision myself homeless? The worst case scenario, I'm going to end up on a relative's couch, right? I have friends and family that I can go be with. So it wasn't like that reality nightmare in my brain wasn't that bad. It's like, calm yourself, girl. I made it like way bigger. Even though it was bad to be in debt, I surely didn't want anybody to know it was bad. But it wasn't as bad. And then I took up a project to give my confidence back because business, for the first time in my life, I had been in business for almost 20 years. And I was like, in business in general, I never had felt that disempowered. So I said, well, what will empower me? Business isn't working for me right now. Let me go pick a project in my house that I can sink my teeth into that would make me feel productive. I moved into this beautiful house, which was another issue, big rent. I wasn't unpacked yet because I was just so depressed about my money. So I said, let me organize the house. And that kind of made me feel like, okay, I'm doing something in my life here. I can get a grip one thing at a time. And probably about 2 months in, I started seeing a little bit of momentum. And I said, okay, I appreciate that. The first little chunk of debt got paid off. I think it was like a $1,500 loan. I was like, I ended up finding that money, which was astonishing to me. And this savings account I forgot about. But that's one of the important things here, right? You don't think straight when you're stressed.
No.
You have no access to inner guidance, creativity, solutions that are right in front of your face. You don't see them. I forgot I had a savings account. What the hell? And so I paid off a little loan that I had. I was like, I paid on that loan for over a year. I could have paid it off years
ago. If you had that savings from the beginning, yeah.
So that is all I did. That was it. And then as I saw the momentum, I just kept appreciating and appreciating. And so I closed the door and saying it's not enough. I got to say that was probably the biggest thing I did. And that's a mind shift thing, which we can all do.
I love that you said it's so easy. Those literally are very, very simple things. And I also like that you talked about organizing your space. You know, I talk a lot about the space that we're in, the space that we keep our mind in. The feng shui aspect of it is so powerful because we're in this cramped, crowded, clustered environment. Guess what's going on in there? You know, it's very similar. So I love that there was an outside aspect as well as the internal mindset shifting going on. Now, how do you maintain that type of mindset? What do you have rituals that you do every day, or what is your work currently? Because I know that as coaches, we can get very comfortable in just teaching other people how to do something, and we probably have done it, but whether we continue to do it or not, sometimes that it becomes a challenge of, oh, this is what I actually do every day. So do you have special rituals or things that just keep your mindset strong around money?
Yeah, the thing I did, I do two things all the time, which is the what if up game, right? When I notice my mind spiraling down, like, oh, what if this doesn't happen, or that doesn't happen on time, or I don't get all the information I want to in this webinar. Well, what's the best that can happen? What if it was the most badass, best webinar I ever gave? People like got awesome results just from the free webinar, you know, and hundreds of people signed up for my paid program, and just start doing the what if up game. Because not only obviously it boosts my mojo, but I think some really great ideas come out of the what if up game. And it's easy. It's free. And 1 minute, you're all of a sudden, you're like, I feel pretty damn good.
Right.
And I do a lot of scripting, you know, where I script out the outcome as if it's already happened. Like I'm writing a letter to my best girlfriend saying, oh my gosh, you're never going to believe what happened. Jack Canfield called me and he wanted to write a book with me. You know,
that's
and it happens, right? But those are my two biggest rituals. In fact, I created a journal because I was doing all these little things in these journals all over the place. So I created a journal where I have all the pieces, right? First I do my appreciation. What do I appreciate for the day? Because I'm so trained to, like, I think I was born, I can't have been born, but it feels like it. I was born a worry wart. You know,
like some people might be actually.
The details, right? I'm always thinking about the details. Even though I'm not a detail person, I want everything to look good.
Yeah.
To be good. And I want to be professional and blah, 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 blah. So I start out with the appreciation. I decide what's my dominant feeling going to be for the day? Is it going to be peace? Is it going to feel like I want to be a badass rock star? You know, how do I want to feel today? And then I write down, you know, Stephen Covey's 6 big rocks. What are the most important things I want to get done today? And then there's a section underneath that where I say the rest of all the things I really want done that I'm not going to be able to do, delegate those to the universe. Here's my list, universe. Thank you very much. And then I play a little bit of a what if up game. I do my scripting for the end outcome, and then I sign it. It's like, all I have to do is show up and be me, focus on my inspired actions, all is well.
Yeah, because that is, it's simple.
That's it.
It's simple. So you, one of the things that I appreciate about you a lot is your focus on fun. Now, I married a guy who was very fun because I typically have not been. I've been the serious, you know, brainiac person. So in my relationship, it's been this huge explosion of fun in my life. And I would love to ask you about that in the professional setting. Is how do you bring fun in? What do you do to make things more fun?
So before I thought, how can I make this fun? And I used to ask that question of things I didn't want to do. Like, what would be fun?
Right.
And then as I started getting more visible, I thought, well, how can I make it fun for the people in the audience or the people in a class? And we used to brainstorm all the time on, okay, what's something wild that would just knock their socks off or make them smile and go, that was cool. So just a little bit like delight and surprise people just for the fun of it. Sometimes there would be learning in it, but mostly it was just to loosen people up and have a good experience while we're learning. And then probably in the last few years is when it's just, I just turned up the volume and I thought, I cannot believe I did not do this before. It's more of, how fun and outrageous can we be? And we're going to bring that into the marketing, into everything we're doing. And now I can't get enough. And I know I'm onto a good idea when I think about it. I go, oh, seriously, I'm going to do that? That's hilarious. I go, I must do that.
So what does that look like?
Well, for instance, this is a little thing, but it still thrills me to no end a year later. I had no idea that on teleconference lines that you could add music clips to play. Oh. And when I discovered this, I thought, I could play music clips, like any kind of music I want. Oh, hell yeah. So I went on a mission, right, to like find all these fun song sound clips. So we're serious. I teach webinars on money, right? Yeah. These people are all serious. But all of a sudden I'll do some like crazy sound thing that goes, woohoo! And people just, whoa! And they start laughing and it lightens everything up. So this delights me to no end. I have created a game. It's a truth or dare, spin the bottle, mashup game. Let's put a twist on that. And it's we've created this online software that if you go in there and you click on the bottle, you spin the bottle, and a truth or dare pops up on your screen, and it's about money. And it's some either got to tell yourself a truth about your business and the way you look at money, or it's a dare. Go out and do something right now. Now, it immediately just looks fun. Like, the graphics are so cool. That delights me to know it. And people spin the bottle and they're writing these comments, but they're getting value. Now, to me, it doesn't get any more fun. So that's, like, some of the ways it shows up. It's like, if it makes me smile, then I know it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure that you know a lot of people. I know you and I talk a little bit about how we kind of were these people, but still today, even with all of this knowledge and all of this wisdom in books, you're just putting this information out there, and yet I know, and you probably do too, a lot of coaches who are amazing at what they do. They're fantastic coaches and they bring it at a really high level, and yet they're still broke. So in your perspective, what's the disconnect? What's going on there?
I think most people don't actually have a plan. I mean, that's so simple, but it's true. I think that we don't have a plan to monetize. We, as coaches, people usually say, well, I have an idea. Here's how I want to work with one-on-one clients. Oh, I think I might want to do a group coaching program. I think I should write a book. And these are grand ideas, but how do they all tie together? And which one are we going to choose to focus on? What's the one that really is going to be our moneymaker? What do we want to be the moneymaker? And then how do we focus on that one thing to drive people, our ideal clients, to that thing? And then the other little things that we're doing will support it, or the moneymaker will support them. So it's like, how does your moneymaker fit into the big picture? Like, I'm really clear. I have a program called Profit Quest. That's my moneymaker. Is that the only thing I do? No. But from that, people funnel into different things, or I have like the other things I'm doing funnel into that program. But in my mind, I know how they all link. And so every time I'm strategizing, like I was just talking to this other woman before this, and she said, I got so many ideas. Where do I start? I want to write out. She said, I wanted this whole library of products and books. And I said, that's what I thought too. I said,
that's what we all thought.
I wrote a book with Jack Canfield, and because it was with Jack Canfield, right, it got on every bookstore, like actually on shelves, not just on Kindle, in bookstores, because his name was on it. It did nothing for me. It got me a lot of visibility. People loved me. It didn't blow up my business in this huge way. It didn't, because there was just the only intent behind it is, let's write a book. That sounds like fun. Jack's like, yeah, let's write a book. Yeah. There was no plan around the book. The plan was, let's get it in as many hands as possible, but how do we monetize it after that?
Right.
After people read it, right, they're like, oh, great book. Do we know the next step we want them to take? No. We just want them to love us. Okay.
Perfect. Done.
So I think that people are not planning out and making a plan for monetizing our creativity. I love to be creative, and I am definitely woo-woo. I teach law of attraction. I love law of attraction. I love money. So I'm kind of like, well, how do I monetize it? Because feeling good and getting results for other people is cool, but it's not going to make you more than enough money if you don't have the flow of your money funnel of how it's all supposed to work.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you, because it was literally that. I had no plan. Oh, this sounds good. This sounds good. Let's do that. Cool. And then a little bit of all these different things resulted in nothing, you know, not much. And it was truly when I sat down and said, okay, what do I want this next year to look like? And since I've been doing that, business changed dramatically. So I had a very similar experience of just making a plan. And like, how obvious, you know? Oh, business plan, right. Business plan, they go together. But for some reason, it didn't occur to me that that was an important aspect. And, you know, I love what you were talking about with this idea of let's get out there. Let's get the visibility. Let's have people love us. Let's get this book into as many hands as possible. But then that not ultimately linking to a next step or something that they could invest with you in. Can you talk a little bit about what maybe you would have done differently in that case? Like a specific example of, okay, if we got this book into all these hands, this book was in all those bookstores, what might you have done differently knowing what you know now and having seen that it didn't really blow up your business, as you said?
Yeah. So I would probably take in the book, and I did, this is what I've done before now. Now I know. Take the book and say, okay, what's the book going to teach people? What are they going to get out of it? And so in your mind, it's kind of like if you're teaching a class, the book is just the pre-class, right? It gets them on the right road. Now what do we got to teach them? And give them the next step. How do I get that information? So last year I wrote a book called 10 Minute Moneymakers, and it was all about get your cash infusion in these little steps that take 10 minutes, which is cool. Cash infusions are awesome when you need them, right? Let's get some money right now. Oh, look, all my bills are paid for the month. Yes. And then, right, if you're a cash infusion junkie like I was, you're constantly having to go get money.
And that's a lot of work.
It is. So I knew the next step, I wanted to give people relief. If they could get a little cash infusion, they feel like, okay, I'm set for a moment. I can breathe. Now what do they need? Okay, cool. Now they're going to need to know how to make the plan and how to create cash on a consistent basis every year. So great. Introduction to my other class called Profit Quest. Then they can, like, it's the next step for them. And I directed them to that link. Here's the book. Cool. I actually said in the book, go here. Or the way I set up the page where they can go get it is, you have this, you can get it. Now here's your next step. Right here. Just here's your book. Click on that. And then the next step is here. Click on that. Let's make it easy. We don't have to have them jump through hoops and like really search on your website really hard to see what you have to offer. Let's make it easy for them to go, oh, my next step. Thank you for showing me. Click.
That's huge. So essentially providing a sequence for them that is clear and obvious and overall helpful. Fantastic. Now, when I met you, I think last year, we had dinner together in Scottsdale. And one of the things that I distinctly remember was some of the people were talking about launches. And they were like, oh, you know, it's a lot of work. And it's I'm so tired after a launch. And you had such a different perspective. You're like, I love launches. And I was like, what? Because you don't typically hear that in this industry. People talk about launches. This is like, you know, they're just weighed down by them. So I'd love to hear from you. Granted, I got the fun aspect and all that. But why do you love launches when most people don't?
Well, I was scared of launches because I saw all of those people in my industry going, oh, I'm never doing one again. Or, wow, we made $1 million, but I got sick for 3 weeks
right.
after.
We're like practically killing ourselves through that. Like, is that worth it?
Yeah, no. And I thought, I'm never doing one of those. Right. I don't know. And then I was talking to my marketing guy about it. He said, Gina, it's just about planning. And most people don't plan enough ahead. So then they're scrambling. I said, are you serious? Come on. He's like, no, serious. Because he worked on their teams. And he's like, no, if you just plan, then you'll have the time and space. I said, all right, I'll try one. But we have to make it fun. He's like, oh, yes, of course, we'll make it fun. So what we did is we took the launch model that we saw everybody else doing. And then we had to tweak it for me because I don't feel like I fit into the model. And I'm quirky and I don't feel like I'm not going to get on stage and give a polished presentation, or I'm not going to do polished videos. I'm just not. I don't want a script in front of me. It gets me in my head and I get flustered. And so I give myself permission to do it my way, be fully quirky, silly, whatever needs to be. And then we just kept looking for ways to make it fun. And like even now we're in the middle of a launch and I have lots of promotional partners supporting me. And my fun things of the day is we created this graphic of the people who are doing the best in the launch, getting the most, you know, opt-ins from me. And we put their faces on another picture of people on the Olympic stands, you know, for first place. And these people are doing these goofy poses, like jumping in the air and they're holding flowers. I was like, oh my God, it's so awesome. I mean, that's not something that's going to make me money, but it makes me smile. And I know it will help my promotional partners to have fun. And so we just keep adding those, like, let's lighten it up. Like, make this, it's a party. It's a creativity party. It's really how I see it. I think launches, because there's so much involved, like you have a deadline, you're launching certain things, there's so many moving pieces.
Yeah.
It is like a party, right? It's like a wedding, a big wedding. You know, there's all these things to coordinate. And you can be Bridezilla, or you can be the girl that's so excited that she's getting married, and you're like, woo, the party's about me.
Yes.
I'm going to have my guests have a good time. We're all here to celebrate. Right on. How do we have fun? In the process of setting it up, in the process of while we're doing it, because if we make it just about the money, it's just going to feel like pressure, right? And I think that's why people get so whacked out. First of all, you're really visible when you're doing a launch because you're on Facebook and people are promoting you and you're just all over the place. So there's that pressure of everything's got to work. It's got to be a good customer experience. They have to walk away with great information. Technology's got to work. There's all that. But if the pressure is really about making money, because you're sinking a lot of money into it if you're doing a big production, you can have a small launch. It doesn't have to cost that much to do it. I don't want to like get people scared to do launches, but I just, you know, you can do a small thing or a big thing. I choose to do a big thing because it's accountability for going bigger. Like if I didn't have people promoting me, I'd go like, that seems too hard. Let's not do that thing we planned. Let's just do this other thing.
Scrap it.
Yeah, like... Why about? No one will know. Nobody knew the plan. But now you got all these partners. They're like counting on you to do well. I'm like, we better make it good. We're going to up level, go pro. And in that, I think what's going to be most on brand for me and how can we revolutionize the way launches are done? Which can also be scary, I have to admit, because I'm thinking, is this going to work? This is a really wacky idea. Truth or dare, spin the bottle in a launch. Well, inner guidance must have given it to me because I feel tickled to do it. So I just got to keep the faith. I'm still doing a lot of mindset coaching as I'm leading up to the launch. Is this going to work? I hope so because we're doing it.
Because it's ready to go. Now, have you ever had a really big disaster in a launch or even just in general? Because I'd love to know about if there was a technology issue or what the things were. What happened?
Well, I've had technology issues every launch because we're...
Every launch?
Always in every launch. And just now I got booted off of Facebook. I had my ad account got shut down and Facebook was going to be a major component of my launch. And they shut me down. And when they shut me down, they didn't tell me. They're like, nope, the party's over and we're not going to enable your account again. Like, what? Like, seriously, I can't get customers. I'm willing to play by the rules. Can you just tell me what rule I broke? Because I'm not sure. So I did lots of, you know, research on the internet and tried to figure it out. And it's still not going to happen. But what upset me most about it is I'm like, Gina, you got to calm down. Like, no matter what, your launch is going to be great. Just because this one component didn't happen, your very first launch, you didn't do Facebook ads. You were too scared to do them and you didn't even think they worked. And you still had a great launch. So why? You've got all these other components. Just because this one piece doesn't work doesn't mean the whole thing's going to fail. But I think I felt so out of control because they were making a decision. I couldn't do anything about it. And I'm not a techie. I don't know the language. I don't even know where to start to try to fix this.
Yeah.
So I probably went into a tailspin for about 24 hours. And I was like, you got to calm down. But I was fussed. I was so wound up about it. And I couldn't stop myself, like, from doing research on the internet and going, I got to fix this. How many people can I talk to at Facebook before somebody will help me? It's like, no one's going to help you when you're distraught. Calm down. So there's that. But that's not a real disaster because I still know I can get the end result. But I tell you one huge thing that did me a world of good is the first time I thought, I'm going to teach a mastermind program. I'm about to have baby number two. I got to leverage my time. I got to stop working, you know, with one-on-one clients as much. And I'm going to have a high-end mastermind. I had hired a marketing coach. I did everything this person told me. I felt like we're right on track. I did what she told me. I'm going to get good at marketing. This thing is going to work. Not a one person signed up. I was like,
oh no.
Really? I launch programs all the time. Somebody signs up. Not one person signed up.
Oh,
and I did it right this time. I did what the marketing person said, man. What's up? And I went back to the marketing coach. I said, my campaign sucked. It tanked. And she said, well, what do you think it was? And I said, I think it's me. I don't think it was the marketing. I think it's me. And she said, no, hold on. So we went through everything. And at the end of 45 minutes, she said, it's you.
Shoot.
And I had what I had come to, you know, in my head was there was so much pressure to make this work because of the baby that my mojo was so off. I was coming from a place of desperation. I was nervous it wouldn't work because I was so dependent on it working. And so it tanked. And again, I gave myself a little grieving period over it. And what ended up happening, this is like my huge aha moment. It was like happened 10 years into my business, unfortunately. Would have happened sooner. But I tripled my profits that next month, and it wasn't promoting anything. People,
wow.
Random, weird things happen. Like somebody hired, I just decided, well, I'm going to raise my rates on my coaching. So I doubled my rates. I was like, screw it. I need to do something different. Some guy hired me off my bio off of Amazon for one of my books. And somebody else hired me, somebody from, you know, a prior client from a program years and years ago said, oh, that's your new rate? Sure, no problem. And they bought packages. I had like decided I was, instead of just going month to month, I was going to do like a full on package and you can pay up front if you want. And people paid up front. And I thought, oh my gosh, take the pressure away. Profits come in. Imagine that.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how crazy we make ourselves? And then it's the most random things, like a bio on Amazon that someone's like, hey, I'd love to work with you. And you're like, I would have killed for you, you know, a year ago or whatever.
Right.
It's so funny. So that's a great story. And thank you for sharing the, you know, the disasters, because we all have them. Now, I wonder if you could recommend a favorite program or book. I've been kind of compiling what everybody's been saying into a master list, if you will. Something that helped you get your money part handled in your life and business.
I'm sure a lot of people have said this before. I'm a huge fan, no matter what else is going on out in the world, I'm a huge fan of Robert Kiyosaki's books. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was a wake-up call for me. And I loved it so much because it would just remind me, like, I got to be on my money game. And then when he came out with Cashflow Quadrant, I think that's the one that really hit me between the eyes, because it was about, Are you being a self-employed person and working yourself to death? Or are you being more, this is not his language, but this is what I got out of it. Are you being like a CEO? Are you taking control of your business and leveraging resources and people and money to help and systems to do the work for you? Or are you just working your ass off doing random actions and hustling? And I'm like, oh, I'm definitely the self-employed person right now.
Right.
I am working my ass off. And I'm running on passion, so it's exciting, but I am working my ass off.
Yeah, and that's not sustainable.
It's not. So it's more of the, and I still remind myself, I have to be a CEO. Like I caught myself the other day doing something, and I thought, I am a mom of two kids, I'm running a business, I'm leading up to a launch, and I'm sitting here writing out like 100 checks by hand. I was like, what am I doing? I should have somebody else be doing this, and I need to get this automated. What the hell? Because I kept saying, I'm so busy, I'll get that. I'll automate it soon.
Right, when really, if you just automated it now, you'd have X amount of more time.
But
we do this.
I would put it off because I'm like, oh God, it just takes up a lot of time. And then it occurred to me, I could pay someone $15 an hour who would happily do this and get it done like early rather than get up to the moment. Okay, hello. So I'm still refining.
As we all are. Absolutely. So cool. Robert Kiyosaki, I'll certainly add that to the list. Now, from your perspective, what are three action steps or strategies that coaches can use to really begin to rock in the money department. And I'd love them to be as specific as possible.
Yeah, okay. So the first thing I'm just going to say is more of like what I don't want people to do.
All right, fair enough. Don't do this.
I don't think that you have to have all these, like, especially if you're going for one-on-one clients, let's say. A lot of us are, you know. I know for me, I knew a full clientele was in the beginning was I want 20 clients, and I needed them now because I wanted to quit the other businesses I had, and so I made it a game. And I think that's one of the best strategies is make it a game. And my game was how many, you know, the simple old sales game is how many people can I talk to a week and get a no from. Because I was noticing I didn't want to like reach out to people. I had all these leads, and I love networking, so I went to these networking groups, and I have a stack like this big of these little slips of leads. I would not do jack with it. I was just too scared. So I said, all right, I'm just going to follow up with people, and I'm going to talk to random people in the street. I'm going to talk to everybody I know. I'm going to be on a mission to spread the word of coaching, and I don't care if they hire me or not. But I'm an advocate for coaching. And that was back when people really didn't know what coaching is. Not that everybody knows what it is now, but it was like, they're like, you know, coach.
Wait,
for what?
What do you do? What, like softball coach?
Workout coach? No.
Right.
And so I just played this, you know, the no game. How many no's can I get a week? And I gave myself tick marks. And I had my little slogan at the time was, you know, world peace, one mind at a time. And so like, well, if I'm about world peace, am I really going to be scared to pick up the phone? No. Pick up the phone, sister. And I'd still drag my butt over there, and I just went for my no's. And what ended up happening is I'd make so many contacts throughout the day, people wouldn't say no, and it ended up filling my practice. And so what I'm telling people not to do is, you know, first of all, the strategy is get a game. Create your structure and your ground rules to make it fun, and it may have it challenge you for the sake of getting what you want and stretching yourself. But don't think that you have to have all these things in place. I mean, now because we're online, everybody's a nut about, I got to get my website up, and I got to get people a free gift, and I got to do this, and I got to get like social media going. No, you don't. You can just go get the clients. You can be taught in conversation with people and being of service, and you can get the clients. You don't even need to learn how to be a salesperson. Just be in relationship with the potential people who can benefit from your services and say what's true for you. God, you seem like an awesome person. I know I can support you.
It's easy as that.
It's natural. So
what not to do is not to freak out about having all those different pieces in place.
Yeah. Like you can just, like, what is it, the end result that you want? Is there a direct route there? And how can we make it easy? Yes. So one of my favorite strategies is asking the simple question, how can I make this fun? How can I make it easy? And you'll get an entirely different answer than if you are looking at what other people are doing in your industry and following in their footsteps. Because we all have different personality styles. You know, a lot of people will come and say, God, I've been forcing myself to go to networking meetings, and we'll talk about their personality style. I'm like, well, no wonder.
Yeah, if you hate that.
You're not an extrovert, and it sounds like hell. You have to psych yourself up to go. Screw that. Don't go to networking events. That's a bad, bad way to leverage your time. It's not leveraging your time. That's called suffering. So I think we got to find our ways that feel fun, and then look at how can we be creative around that one way. Like, for instance, in the types of launches that I do, I want to get people to help me to promote it. To me, that was something that scared the bejesus out of me. I don't want to go ask people to promote me. That sounds like hell. It's embarrassing. I don't know the right words to say. Are they going to get the power of my program? Will they like me? Will they like my online, all this stuff. So I created a game around it. How can I make it fun? Well, we can do fun videos. Our mutual friend, I think you know Tiamo.
Oh, yes.
Right. Okay. So I said, Tiamo, if I get a person to write kind of like a poem, can you translate that into a song and we'll put it on a video and let the video do my work for me to like promote my program to JV parties? Sure. So I hired the person to do this. I give it over to Tiamo. We make it fun. So I'm not doing the thing that makes me cringe, and I'm so tickled by the video, I think, I can't wait to show people that video.
That's an awesome example.
There's always a workaround for whatever your style is and whatever your cringe factor is. There's a way to make it easy and fun.
Yeah. And that's such, you know, I'm so glad that you're talking about this, because so many people, we go to these quote experts and they say, do this, 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 and this. But if that doesn't jive with who you are, that's not at all what you should be doing. That worked for them. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work or be effective or helpful for you. So totally appreciate that for sure. Anything else in terms of the steps and strategies that they could just take on right away?
I also think identifying your biggest moneymaker, like what do you want to be the moneymaker? And really, rather than just a lot of people, they say, okay, great, I'm going to focus on that one thing. And then they push it out to the world. And but they don't, it's, you got to have a plan for longer than the one time push. I had, and I still do have lots of things on my website people don't know exist because there's no way to constantly let people know that they exist. So then that keeps you a best hidden secret, right? You could be a rock star and nobody knows it. Dancing all alone in your house with a microphone.
Which I feel like is a lot of these coaches who may be watching this program is, like I said, they're amazing at what they do. And yet nobody knows that. So they're not getting the clients. They're not getting the income to make it a sustainable practice. So totally.
So right, like on. With a free gift, this is one thing I did really well. Because before, I like to just crank something out, right? And then I'm on to the next thing. And I never looked at how do we do this in excellence and make sure it does its job for us. So when I did a free opt-in gift, I had a really cool one that I got a lot of people really loved it. And so I said, well, we better, like, what are we going to do with it? I made it for a particular thing to give away. And I'm like, well, after that particular thing's done, this is so cool. I don't want to just have it sitting here. What are we going to do with it? And so we decided to do it as a free gift for lots of things. And we created a follow-up sequence. Once people downloaded it, they get this follow-up sequence. Now, normally my mindset would be, how do we get them to take the next step and write a longer email? I thought, you know what? People don't have time for this. What's short and sweet? And I was in a hurry myself. And I thought, let me connect in with my inner guidance. What's something fun that we can write that will get them the next step? And it was more like, hey, do this. And if you know what, if you need help, just email me back and we'll do a strategy session. Holy guacamole. It worked so good. And we did this whole little sequence. And I decided, like, let's go pro. We just got to do this really well. It was very well thought out. It didn't take me a lot of time, but it was very well thought out. It ended up being so good. We stopped the campaign because I'm like, I can't do any more free sessions with people. And it was translating into sales. But it was from that one little thing, instead of just whipping it out and thinking, like, let's hurry up and just get this thing out there. Let's think about how to go pro with this thing and make sure it does its job. But we need to do that with everything.
Great point. Well, Gina, thank you so much. This has been awesome. I'm really excited for my viewers to meet you, enter into your world. Lots of fun.
Thanks so much for listening to Coach Confidential. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. If you'd like to learn more about coaching, visit our website at lucra.com. That's lucra.com. There you'll find free resources to rock your business and your life.